A.B. Dix knew about all of them. For a couple of minutes, the chamber echoed with the clicking of bolts and the testing of springs. Ejected cartridges rattled brassily on the metal floor as the group tested the action of their handguns and rifles. Ryan drew his punga from its scabbard, felt the honed edge with his thumb, nodded his approval, and slid the 18-inch blade back out of sight. Christy removed her three slim, leaf-bladed throwing knives from the bandolier across her chest, flicking them casually from hand to hand, finding the points of balance. Only Doc had no weapon. He dusted off his tall hat and attempted to brush his frock coat clean.
Weapons check's done. Everyone ready now?
I'm good.
Good to go.
All set.
Then let's get out of here.
The door opened smoothly. As he led his group into the adjoining room, Ryan heard the faint sound of a distant siren and stopped to listen, but it eventually faded out. Rectangular and roughly 5 paces long by 3 wide, the room was similar to those that he'd seen in other gateways and other redoubts. There was a plastic table on one side and 4 shelves on the other, but nothing else in the room except a polished copper bowl on the table. Hunniker picked up the bowl and peered inside.
Nothing in it except something dried at the bottom. Brown crust like blood.
She banged it back down, the noise surprisingly loud. Ryan glared at her, and she tried an apologetic half-smile. With Han, that was better than nothing. The far door was shut. If this was like the other redoubts they'd briefly explored, the room beyond would be the main control site for the matter transmitter complex. Ryan drew his handgun, the weight of the 15-shot 6-hour comforting. Around him, the others readied themselves. That was one of the good things about the traitor's training. Nobody needed to be told what to do in this sort of situation. You have your finger on the trigger, nerves stretched tight, eyes moving. If mistakes were made, men could die. One of the things that Ryan liked about the P-226 was its safety. The pistol fired when you pulled the trigger, not before. Not even if you dropped it. He remembered Brecht, the bearded tail gunner from Warwag 2, dropping his old Beretta 92. That was enough to set it off, and the bullet hit Karen Mutter, the oldest woman aboard any of the Warwags, in her left buttock. Her scream could have shattered crystal at half a mile. Karen had been among the dead at Moxon. The door opened on a greased track, and Ryan Carter stepped through the doorway. It was just like the others. Consoles of whirring instruments, lights flashing red and blue and green. Banks of comps that still functioned as they had for 100 years. It was a great tribute to the technical skill of the engineers before the chill that these things still worked after a century of neglect. Ryan sniffed the air, trying to catch some clue that might prepare him for what lay behind the massive door to the gateway. His limited experience told him it should open onto a corridor that was part of a fortress built like some of the stockpiles that they'd found in the last few years. He flicked on the rad counter in his lapel. There was nothing of the fearful crackling that would indicate a hotspot. JB rubbed a finger along the top of one of the consoles and then showed it to Ryan.
It's clean.
Nearby, Finnegan poked Hennings in the ribs.
Don't spill any of your dirty blood on the consoles, Hennings.
The tall black man didn't bother to reply. To the right of the polished metal door was a green lever set at a single word, closed. Cautiously, Ryan eased the lever upward toward the word open. They could hear the gears meshing, and the door began to move sideways. As soon as it had opened a couple of inches, Ryan stopped it. Very carefully, he put his good eye to the gap, looking both ways and sniffing again.
Anything?
No, just a blank wall, but I think I can smell food.
Food?
Yeah, it smells like meat cooking, but it's very faint. Probably from some days ago.
The rad counter was silent, which surprised Ryan. What kind of a place was this, he wondered, that had virtually no radiation? It had to be a place where there'd been no fighting, or where they'd used some low-yield weapons with short half-lives.
Any idea where the hell we are, Doc?
Not a clue, my dear fellow. That's the trouble with these jumps. All the control instructions are long gone. They took care that the redoubts held nothing, in case any Ruskies came sauntering along, all coded and tucked away.
Ruskies? Back in Harmony, my Uncle Tyus McCann used to talk to Peter Maritza about Ruskies. Who are they?
Russians. Used to call them Ruskies or Reds, because they killed so many people. Had a huge piece of land out west of us, beyond where the coast all fell in. Mean bastards. So the old books I read kept saying about them.
I'm gonna open the door. JB, everyone else, behind me.
Ryan pushed the lever all the way up, and the door slid open, revealing a blank wall and a narrow corridor running in either direction as far as they could see. Not that they could see very far. The passage was gently curved, its ends out of sight. Joining Ryan, they entered the corridor, fanning out with guns ready. Ryan tasted the air again, still catching the elusive but undeniable scent of cooking.
I can smell it too. Good meat stew and fresh bread. That way, to the left.
Then we best go that way. This fat little lard ass ain't never wrong about food. He'd ride the tongue of the mouth of hell for a mug of broth.
Then left it is.
This redoubt was different from the others they'd seen. There were no rooms opening off the main corridor, just a long, bare passage with a high-domed ceiling. At its zenith, lights were deeply recessed behind thick glass. The walls were a restful cream color, unmarked by the passage of the 100 years or so since the place was built. Ryan walked a couple of hundred paces, then turned to Hunniker.
See any tracks, hon?
The girl knelt, placing a hand on the stone, lowering her head until the stubble of her green hair brushed the floor. The others watched. Hunniker was probably the best scout in the group. The trader had often complimented her about it.
It's been cleaned. Swept in the last few days by a buggy with fat, soft tires. There's a layer of rubber down here that's real old. Like someone's been driving the buggy for fucking years. No prints.
Ryan led on, every 50 paces or so noticing a slit in the ceiling. Finally he stopped and stared up at one.
Looks like a heavy armor shield. Drops down to seal off a section.
You spot the mini-vid cameras?
Uh-huh. Linked to a sonic pickup, I guess.
Been watching us since we left the gateway. Watching us now.
Not anymore.
Oki hugged her beloved M16A1 carbine against her hip.
Oh, that was brilliant. Real brilliant.
Keep your lips sewn up, or...
Enough!
Sure. Take that slut's part, Ryan. Look after your body house, hooker.
I said enough, Oki. There's 8 of us here. Either we watch each other's backs or we can all be dead. It's not a fucking game, lady.
Mr. Cole!